So we've got a patient here. He's over the age of 50. He has a loud P2. A loud P2 means the pulmonic valve is slamming shut and you have pulmonary hypertension. Okay. You've got a big pressure, an increased pressure in the pulmonary vasculature. You're going to get that pulmonic valve slamming shut. So the chest X-ray shows reticular opacities. That might sound weird and vague. It's not. USMLE wants you to know that the word reticular or reticulonodular, those words, okay? Reticular and reticulonodular mean pulmonary fibrosis. So this patient has pulmonary fibrosis, okay? 5 month history of worsening shortness of breath. You're like, like that's a while. That's not cute. Like, what's going on here? So different things to consider, but once again, the loud P2 with the reticular opacities on the chest X-ray and the 5 month history and the guy being over 50, it sounds like idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Now, this is what's really strange is usual interstitial pneumonia. That's actually the answer here. You're like, what the fuck? Like, what's that? I promise you, that's actually on the NBMEs for step one. Okay, so this is not some like term I'm romanticizing or some condition that like will never show up on the exam. This is actually assessed on the NBMEs for step one, and they say the answer is usual interstitial pneumonia. So you need to know that usual interstitial pneumonia is a broad term that's applied to an ongoing scarring of the lungs, causes restrictive lung pattern almost always. And many causes, okay? Like you can have autoimmune causes, connective tissue diseases, asbestosis, etc. But if the etiology is idiopathic, then we simply call our usual interstitial pneumonia diagnosis more specifically to be idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. So that should be one of your takeaways here. I note that serum biochemistry is normal in the question stem. That's something that the eyes can probably pass over easily. That's actually one of the ways I eliminate sarcoidosis because sarcoidosis, we get hypercalcemia almost always in the vignette, let alone the fact the rest of the vignette doesn't sound remotely like sarcoidosis. Okay, sarcoidosis was, if we're talking textbook here, it's going to be usually a woman in her early 30s, African American, who's going to have a chronic dry cough, but we'll have granulomas on biopsy, non-caseating granulomas. We'll have bihilar lymphadenopathy on chest X-ray, and you get the epithelioid macrophages within those non-caseating granulomas. Epithelioid means activated macrophages. They are going to secrete 1-alpha hydroxylase, which will convert the inactive 25-hydroxyD3 into active 125-dihydroxyD3. That leads to increased calcium absorption in the small bowel. So we get hypercalcemia. That's one of the classic findings in sarcoidosis. So, as I said, not only does the vignette not sound like sarcoidosis, but the biochemistry is normal, and we would expect hypercalcemia usually in a vignette with sarcoidosis. Drug-induced pulmonary fibrosis, it's a distractor. The patient's on amlodipine, dihydropyridine calcium channel blocker. That drug does not cause pulmonary fibrosis. However, amiodarone does cause pulmonary fibrosis. Amiodarone's a potassium channel blocker. It's an antiarrhythmic. So if you're shaky on which drugs cause pulmonary fibrosis, you could be like, oh shit, like, is it amlodipine? Is it amiodarone? So you need to know that amlodipine does not cause pulmonary fibrosis. Amlodipine will cause peripheral edema, can cause fluid retention. That's a really high yield side effect of dihydropyridine calcium channel blockers like amlodipine and nifedipine, as they cause peripheral edema, fluid retention. But the drugs that cause pulmonary fibrosis, we're looking at amiodarone, busulfan, bleomycin, methotrexate, nitrofurantoin. So there are some good ones there. I'd say particularly methotrexate, bleomycin, and amiodarone. Those are the high yield ones for causing pulmonary fibrosis. So cryptogenic organizing pneumonia, that's a more obscure condition. You're not going to get asked that on the USMLE. And more just you're like, what's that? Like, I've seen that before. Like, what is that? Basically, cryptogenic organizing pneumonia will look like pneumonia on chest X-ray, and the patient will often present exactly like he or she has a pneumonia. Tends to be an older patient, but they might have an infection like fever, sweats, okay? And so they are often treated. What an important point of the history, just cutting to the chase for you, an important point of the history for cryptogenic organizing pneumonia is that you'll have a patient who appears as though he or she has pneumonia and is treated with one or more courses of antibiotics, but this condition is actually a restrictive lung disease. It has nothing to do with actual infective pneumonia. There's speculation as far as maybe an infection can precipitate it, but many different causes, such as fumes, okay, that's a classic cause, but it's a restrictive lung disease that is not infective, and it's just a gradual fibrosis of the lungs. And the patient will have a history of being treated with antibiotics to no avail. And then choice A, I just made that up, chronic viral illness with autoimmune response. I mean, why not? It's just a distractor. And nothing in particular rings a bell here. Okay, that's it.